Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 1. Also, before we begin, I made a copy of something that Michael gave us on Wednesday night, and that is to, if you want to protect yourself from all the different bacteria, fungus, pesticides, metallics, and things that's in your food, there's a list in the back. It's one page, it's back flip side. It shows you a preparation, how you can prepare your foods and to eliminate those things. As you know, they've been saying that about 70% of the food you eat during the winter is coming out of Mexico. And the hygiene in Mexico is not very good. people that they don't have sanitary places for the people that are working, they go over, they urinate someplace, and then they don't wash their hands, they don't wash their hands, they handle your food. Sometimes they urinate right on the food, you know, that they're picking. And so, you know, if you don't wash these things properly, clean these things, that, you know, that's why there's so many plagues and diseases that are breaking out. And so this is something, there's one for each family in the back. If you'd pick that up, it'll help you to at least avoid what you can, and as far as those things go. Now, in reading from Romans chapter 1, we'll read from verse 18 to begin with. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. Actually, that word is not in them, but to them. For God hath showed it unto you. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who substituted the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, what cause? Because they substituted the truth of God for a lie. God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And realizing, Father, that you have come down in this hour, you who gave this word, have come in this hour to bring to pass that which you've spoken. And so, Father, we commit ourselves, Lord, to the hearing of thy word and to this study in the book of Romans. And we ask you, Father, to help us to understand, because your prophet said that the entire New Testament was written for this hour. So, Lord, we believe that these words here, which were written in the Alpha, were actually written for the Omega. And so we see the manifestation of them in the Omega, and this is what we focus our thoughts upon today. Therefore, Father, we ask that you would guide those thoughts and guide our focus. Now we just commit ourselves to thee, and to thus saith the Lord. For we humbly believe that you come down with thus saith the Lord through your prophet. And therefore, Father, we have no thought coming. But help us truly, Lord, to reflect that which you have spoken. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Now, I hardly know where to begin this morning other than maybe pick up where we left off on Wednesday night because there's so much information that I have. And, you know, I kind of get myself in trouble sometimes because I start a series or start something and I've got so many, many pages of information that I just don't know where to begin. But I guess the best place we can begin is right back here in Romans. And so let's look at verse 18 again. We read, "For the wrath of God is revealed." Now that wrath is a word which actually means the anger of God. Remember, he said, "I'll not always strive with men." So the anger of God will be revealed, and that word revealed is the Greek word apokalypsis, which means to be laid open. So we're seeing then that something's going to happen where the wrath of God will be laid open, it'll be made known, it'll be uncovered. And it says from heaven, and that word from heaven doesn't actually mean up in the star someplace, but as we know, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that word heaven is actually the word Uranus. And it's not the like the planet Uranus, but it means the universe. He's coming down from a higher place, see? And he'll be revealed from heaven, notice, and his judgments will be revealed against, that word against is the word epi, which means in opposition to all ungodliness. Now we know the word ungodliness, the simplest way of looking at that is ungodlikeness, but it actually means a lack of reverence toward God. So the very fact that these people have a lack of reverence toward God angers God, and his anger will be revealed from heaven. Now remember, he comes to reveal himself. The Lord descends from heaven with a shout. So out from the descent of the Logos comes forth the anger of God. Because when God revealed himself, they turned it down. They were irreverent toward it. And they said, "Who needs it? You know, we've got it. We can do those things too." As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these of reprobate minds concerning the truth withstand the truth. How do they withstand the truth? They did the same thing. Well, we've got our gifts of knowledge. We've got our gifts of prophecy. My goodness, the prophet of God was standing there preaching to the people, telling them what they had need of, and some woman stand up and before she did, she kind of made sure her socks were up. That's in the days when they didn't have pantyhose. The socks had to be, you know, the chiffon or rayon. She probably had rayons on. Had to fix her hair. Then she stood up and Brother Branham said, "Sit down." And afterward, the people came up and were angry. And he said, "The spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet." And they said, "Yeah, but she had a more fresh word." Hogwash. That's like Satan came to Eve in the garden. He had a more fresh word too. Yeah, he was pretty fresh, all right. Led to seduction. See? Now, notice, so the wrath of God is to be revealed from heaven. What was revealed from heaven? A shout. The Lord himself. So the wrath of God is also to be revealed with the shout. You see? Now, Brother Graham said, before there's judgment, God always brings forth warning. Warning, then judgment. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, all irreverence, and unrighteousness. We know that word righteousness, the word righteousness comes from right wiseness. So unrighteousness is a lack of having a right wiseness. In other words, wrong. Wrong wiseness. See? Now, the wrong wiseness of men who hold, that word is kateko, who suppress, who restrain, who hinder, or hold back the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they use their wrongness to hold back the righteousness, the right wiseness. Now, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. For God hath showed it, God hath phanerud, God has manifested it in his true character unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. A ministry came forth in this hour, and was scientifically proven. Now, the definition of something that is scientifically proven is the fact that it has a pattern, or it has a principle, and when that principle shows that it is the same in every instance, as long as the chemistry is the same, or as long as the atmosphere, the setting is the same, then it is said to be scientifically proven. Because if a particular chemical does a certain thing, this, when you add water to it this time, but the next time you add water to it, it doesn't do the same thing, it's not a scientific proof. So a scientific proof is when you have an element H and you have an element O, and you have two H's and an O, and they're brought together in the right conditions, it'll produce vapor, water, H2O. And it'll be that way every time. What about when God comes forth in this hour with, thus saith the Lord? 10,000 times it's tested. 10,000 times it comes to pass exactly what was said. I think for certain then we could say that was scientifically proven, according to the basis of science. Because what is science after all? What is science? It's the field of observation. And basically, if it's not seen, if it's not proven, then it's not science. Because science is the field of experimentation, of watching and observing, and then making a thesis based upon the facts. Then thus saith the Lord is scientific. The camera caught the light. That's not an illusion. That is not mythology. It is not psychology. God scientifically proved himself. And yet, they turned him down. Brother Branham said the scientists, they looked up. When they heard the thunder, which is, you know, we know the thunder is the voice of God going forth, they looked up. Remember in Revelation 10, it says, the Lord spoke with a loud voice as when a thunder, as like thunder. And or thunder with a loud voice, like when a lion roars. We know when a lion roars, Amos 3, is what? It's a prophet speaking, or God speaking in a prophetic utterance. And the scientists were busy working, and they looked up. Huh. Went back to their test tubes. And so we see a mass rejection in this hour of vindication. Now you say, well, just so long as they don't reject Jesus, you know, that's okay. Listen, when they reject vindication, they reject Jesus. I was listening to a tape on the way here this morning. Brother Brown said, he said to a child out there, he said, I can't heal you. I have no power to heal you. He said, if Jesus were standing here in my own suit, he said, he couldn't heal you. But he said, but if you believe his word, that's what'll do it. Now, I don't know if that struck you like it struck me. But Brother Branham said, Jesus could not heal you. He cannot heal you. He never could heal you. But simply the word. God's word. And you're believing that word. The Amplified Version puts it this way, for that which is known about God is evident to them and is made plain in their inner consciousness because God himself has shown it to them. In other words, there has to be a phaneroo for this to take place. Then this speaks of the once for all enlightenment that must take place according to Hebrews chapter 6. Brother, sister, what we see in Romans 1 could never have taken place unless there was a fanfare of God. The great unveiling of God Himself coming down and expressing Himself in exactly His true character. Now, Brother Dale, in his recent sermons, Questions and Answers, he's been talking about how he said, I can prove to you that you have within your body everything that's needed to have AIDS and these diseases. And what I want to do this morning is to show you by the scripture how that is so. Now we find in Romans chapter 1, he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God, who substituted the truth of God for a lie. Notice it says that the men, leaving the natural use of women, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was due them. Now, at first glance, you'd say, well, it looks like we've got a little bit of a conflict here, because it says they receive in themselves. Yet this thing that is they receive is in themselves. But something, brother and sister, has to spark it off. In Hebrews 6, I'm going to read from the verse 1 through 7 from the Amplified. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, which is dead formalism, and of faith by which you turn to God, with teachings about purifying and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment and punishment. These matters of which you should have been fully aware long, long ago. If indeed God permits, we will now proceed to advanced teaching. For it is impossible to restore and bring again to repentance those who have been once for all enlightened, who have consciously tasted the heavenly gift, and have become sharers of the Holy Spirit, and have felt how good the Word of God is, and the mighty powers of the age and world to come, if they deviate from the faith and turn away from allegiance, it is impossible to bring them back to repentance again. For because while as long as they nail up on the cross the Son of God afresh as far as they are concerned, and are holding Him up in contempt and shame and public disgrace. Now notice in Romans we read, because that which may be known of God is manifested to them. For God hath fanarooed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So because they turn down Godhead, and the manifested, the fanaru of God, God revealed in His true character, there's nothing left for them but judgment. And we see in Hebrews, therefore let us go on and get past the elementary stages and teachings of the doctrine of Christ. Let's not stick with just God sent a prophet. Let's go on to the advanced teaching. See? So we're looking at the judgment then of those who would willfully turn away the truth. Those who would willfully withhold the truth from others. A brother Branham said let me just find the quote here. From Influence, he said, now the people doesn't have reverence for Him. They don't have reverence for Him. Remember we read, for the wrath of God is revealed is made known, is uncovered from heaven, against or in opposition to all ungodliness, which is a lack of reverence toward God. So because they don't have a reverence toward God, a reverential fear of God, in the hour that God is completely made known, then the wrath of God, the anger of God, is turned loose upon them. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now what does it mean to become vain? Does it mean puffed up and conceited? No, the word vain means meaningless. Meaningless. Worthless. But they became worthless in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. As I said, Brother Ram said, from the message influence, he said, now the people doesn't have reverence for Him. Why isn't it people don't reverence God? Reverence only pertains to God. It's spoke of twice in the entire Bible. Both times pertaining to God. Notice the reason that they don't do it is because they are not fully convinced that it is God. They're not fully convinced. Neither was Uzziah. He wasn't fully convinced that God kept every word, because God had blessed him. He thought, that satisfies me. If I got a blessing from God, I can do what I want. But you can't do it. You cannot do it. You teenager, you can't do it. No matter how much popularity you are, what a fine girl, a fine boy, nice dancer, how the school all appreciates you, you won your scholarship, that's all fine. There's nothing against that. That's fine. But don't think that you can trample on God's word and get by with it. Don't you ministers think that you can do it and get by with it. None of us is going to do it. You housewives or you businessmen, we're all going to answer to God by His word. Isaiah was learning this. They're not conscious of His presence. So what's going to happen? Remember, the scripture tells us in verse 25, who substituted the truth of God for a lie. And what happened? Well, they begin to burn within themselves. Brother, sister, you turn down the word, you've got to go toward homosexuality. And you get the plagues. Because you're burning yourself, male with female, to begin with. And then it'll increase and increase until you have a desire for male with male, women with women. That's according to the Word of God. It's always got to go to sex, because it did in the garden. Who substituted the truth of God for a lie. How does it begin? Does it automatically just turn on the switch and there it is? No. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? They didn't love the truth. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So it's not that they outrightly say, I hate Jesus. I hate this message. No, but they begin to receive a lie. They become deluded. Now, how did Eve become deluded? What happened to Eve anyway? You know, there's a lot of people today preaching that the bride is God. You know, you've got that even in this message. That God had a feminine half, and they are that feminine half. And if you know women, the feminine half always wants to rule the male half. But that's the way they believe. They have their little pitchers of water. They saw it was in the Father. He poured it in the Son. So they pour it from the Father glass to the Son. They discard the Father. All that was in the Son, they pour in, got, was poured into the church, and they discard the Son. Now you don't have a Father and Son anymore, but you've got the church. God's in His church. God is not in His church, brother, sister. He's in His Word. See? But what happened? Let's go back to Genesis and just look at this a little bit. Because remember, Wednesday night we talked about how death entered in. Now look, we have in this day what Brother Branham said, that the nations are breeding germs that will produce the plagues of Revelation 9 and the plagues we find in Revelations. In fact, before we go to Genesis, let me just read on, because I want to show you the sales pitch that Eve took. She took on the sales pitch. See? Now, Satan was not quoting. He was just not making this up. What does Satan say to Eve? He said, this fruit will make you what? Wise. And that you'll be as what? Gods. Right? Now, did Satan just make that up? Where did he get it from? Okay. Where did God say it then? Well, Revelation, or Genesis chapter 1. No. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and eat, and over every, over the cattle, and over the earth, and everything that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him male and female. And God blessed and said, go forth and multiply. Now, we find then that, let me just read here. Okay. And so, what did God do? He said, let's make man in our image. God said, he is like one of us. Let us make him in our image. Who was speaking? Brother Ben said, it was the Father to the Son. It was God to the, and through the Logos. See? The Son. Now, notice, so Satan, look, Satan doesn't have a word of his own. Satan only can repeat God's word, but put a twist to it. That's why when the scripture says he filled up the sum, and that word sum is the word token. He filled up the token, he filled up the pattern. That word token means pattern. He filled up the pattern, full of wisdom and beauty, until iniquity was found in him. And what's iniquity? Know to do right, you don't do it. It's your own thought. See? Now, so what happened with Eve? Serpent came to her and said, hey, Gail, girly, not Gail as in G-I-L, but you know, Gail, girly. Hey, girly, I got something that you probably really enjoy. Did you know that if we do this certain thing, that you'd be as wise as God himself? Pretty enticing. These guys today are preaching even in this message. And of course, you know, in the world they're preaching this this hogwash about what's this New Age stuff. You know, this you know, everybody's God. God's in everybody. God's in the sand. He's in the seas. In the, you know, air we breathe and everything else. So it makes you all God. Eddie Biscoe was down in Tennessee preaching this wonderful revelation that they've got about the female Holy Ghost and all this stuff. And Luke Gibson asked young man down there, he said, well, what does that make you? And the guy said, I guess it makes me God. So the people are God. So they have, hey, look, if you're God, what do you need a Savior for? What do you need a healer for? What do you need redemption for? You are God. Isn't that the same thing that Satan himself wanted to exalt himself to be God, equal with God? So notice, he gave a sales pitch. Well, I'll just read them off to you. This is, looks like it's dried out. The first thing happened was he premeditated a crime. He premeditated a crime for the purpose of perpetrating a crime. The crime was what? Well, what was the crime though that ended up? If the day you eat, the day you what? You die. Murder, death. That's the wrong kind. It'll only erase. That day you die. So he perpetrated a crime. In order to perpetrate a crime, what do you have to do first? Calculate. Think it. What do you calculate? How can I get this thing across to this person? How can I bring forth this deception, this fraud, this robbery? Because what was he out to do? He was out to steal their eternal life. How can I control seduction, death, etc.? And so what did Eve do after this great sales pitch? She became an accessory before the fact, before the act, before the fact. She became an accessory after the fact because she got Adam involved and she messed up the whole gene pool that was in Adam. So she was guilty of collusion, which is secretly against, for fraudulent or illegal purposes, in other words, conspiracy. So where's your first conspiracy theory? Adam, or not Adam, but Eve and the serpent against Adam. Satan perpetrated these things to Eve, and then Eve to Adam. But Satan tried to do the same thing to Jesus. And remember, in the garden, God promised, "Your seed shall bruise his head, and he shall bruise his seed, the serpent's seed, shall bruise your seed's heel." And so Satan came to Jesus and he said, "Hey, I got this great thing. You see, I own everything in the world. It's all mine. Therefore, all you have to do is just worship me. Simple. Worship me. And it's all yours. Money, money, money. It's all yours." But what did Jesus do that was different from what Eve did? How? Exactly. He said, "There's other words written besides what you're saying. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." And the scripture says, "Worship God and Him alone." So Satan came to Eve with a great sales pitch. And he said, "Hey kid, you can be equal with God. You can know what God knows. You will become God, just like what I taught a third of the angels who followed me from heaven." And so, she entered into a conspiracy. She was seduced. Eve was not raped. You know, people say, "Well, you know, that person was seduced. It wasn't their fault." No. Seduction doesn't mean it's not your fault. It just means you're gullible. But you willfully allow yourself to be seduced. Rape is rape. Rape is against your will. But if you're seduced, brother, sister, you've entered into it willingly. Willingly. So what has taken place? We find in this hour, God said, "Because I have come, and I will come, and Phanaru myself, but because they reject it, something's going to happen. My wrath will be displayed." Peter, can you turn the heat back up a little bit? It's gotten cooled down quite a bit. Now, we promise that God's wrath will deal with those people at the end time. And as you know, Wednesday night, we began to deal with this subject of the wrath of God and the judgments that are in the earth. And we found that the judgments are brought to the earth at the time of the seventh angel. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Now reading from verse 9, he says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." So we see that this angel, the seventh, one of the seven, who brings forth the seven last plagues and the seven vials full of these plagues, is the same one whose ministry is to show or present the bride of Christ. Notice that this angel is to show or to present the bride of Christ, and he is the same one that brought forth the vials containing the seven last plagues. And remember, the angel is spelled with a small a, which means it's a messenger. For modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Brown said, there will come on this earth, by God's promise, a genuine servant of God, identified by God, by His Word, being the answer of this day that will set the bride in order, a real little minority of the church, and take it up, that's right, He'll introduce, behold, there's the one that I talked about, see, that'll come. Now, what did Eliezer do? Ron. Okay. Was his job over when he found that bride? What did he do?
He had to give her a gift.
Okay, but after that, what did he do? Did he just leave her there and...
He had to bring her back.
Okay, and was it over when he got back, or what did he do? He had to introduce her to the bridegroom, and the fact that he brought her was an introduction to the bridegroom of her. So in other words, the Eliezer came and he says, behold, there he is. Right? And so by his saying, behold to her, behold there he is, and he was watching this, he recognized then that behold, there she is. See? Now the spoken word, from the spoken word's original seed, Brother Brown said, then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of His word. So who actually does the presenting? The Spirit of God through a seventh angel messenger. Because remember, from Anointed Ones to the End Time, Brother Brown said, now I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. But I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice, and my voice even against my better judgment. I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down the river. I was only standing there when He appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when He does it. It was only a voice that He used to... I was only a voice that He used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to. That He spoke to. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, His message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, but it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And if you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly above all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it? While we pray. So those Brother Adam was saying, look, it's not me. It's not even my message. As Jesus said, I of my own self can do nothing. The Son of Himself can do nothing. But what He sees the Father, that the Son doeth likewise. That's why Brother Adam could say, he said, look, if Jesus were standing here in this suit that I'm wearing, He couldn't heal you because His Word has already done it.
Just receive His Word. That's tremendous.
Now from Revelation 15, verse 1, we read, "And I saw another sign in heaven, and great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." So these plagues then will be the wrath of God. And remember, we read in Revelation, in Romans, he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against," it's against all of those who are opposed to the reverence toward God. All those who are irreverent toward God. The wrath of God. And what is the wrath of God? Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And remember, we read that in Revelation 21:9, he says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last plagues." Now remember, we talked about what a vial is. It's a little like a beaker. It's a little small little thing, like a test tube type of thing, container, and it'll hold what? Medicines, chemicals, pharmaceuticals. As I said, with this position that I buy, all the vaccines that are purchased for these doctors are purchased in 5 milliliter vial, 10 milliliter vial, 50 milliliter vial. So a vial contains vaccines. It's used for vaccine, contains vaccines. Now what we're looking at is the wrath of God coming upon men because they reject. How does the wrath of God come? It comes through a vial. It's coming through a vial. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Revelation 17:1. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Who is the great whore? It's the church. And her harlots are who? The churches. So the judgment is coming upon the churches. And yet he says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials." So now, although all seven of these angels had a vial at one time, now at the end time, this seventh messenger has all seven vials of the plagues. Now I can take and show you where Brother Branham said every time a message went forth, it was rejected. A plague struck the earth. What was the plague of the days of Pentecost when the Pentecostal message came out? It was the Spanish influenza. What was the plague in Martin Luther's time? It was the Black Plague. And we could take, and by God's grace, given enough time, I'm going to prove to you and show you that after each message came forth, there was an epidemic that struck and killed hundreds, if not thousands or millions of people throughout the world. But in this last hour, one third of mankind will receive the plagues because all seven vials will break forth. When have we ever had so many diverse plagues like Legionnaire disease? Hong Kong flu, Ebola, Ebola Restan, Zaire, what's the other one starts with an M? There's like three or four of them. AIDS, herpes, tuberculosis is coming back. When did it happen? When the word was rejected. How did it start? The prophet threw a rock in the air. When the rock came down, it started a whirlwind, just a little whirlwind. But that whirlwind grew and grew. And there was nothing stopping it because when it hit the rock cliffs, brother and sister, it shattered those rock cliffs. As soon as Brother Brown threw that rock up in the air and it came down, he said, hit the dirt. He said, hi, get under something. And the men scrambled. They knew. They scrambled. They got undercover. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 and all these rocks start blowing up from the whirlwind. And actually, for about 10 years afterwards, all the souvenir hunters in the message went out to Arizona and they picked up themselves these little triangular shaped rocks that came off. And Brother Branham said, judgment will strike the West Coast. Later on, he said, the judgments of God are in the earth. When did it start? 1956, this nation rejected. Rejected. When was the first case of AIDS traced back to? Around 58. Somewhere around there. 57, 58. 63. Well, 56, they kicked him out of the church, the word. 63, they kicked him out of the schools. And now what's left? What's left? The judgments of God are in the earth. Now, Revelation 16, verse 1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." Revelation 21, verse 8 and 9. Let's just turn to it. Verse 6. "And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers." You know what that word sorcerer? Look it up in your Strong's. It's the word pharmaceukos. Pharmacist. Can anybody tell me what a pharmacist is? Well, you all have used them. Do you know the doctors today? That's all they are, is pharmacists. A drug for this, a shot for this, take two of these. They won't go in there and actually do a manipulation. Oh, you have a few, they're surgeons, they do some sewing. Let's look at the podiatrists, because I know I work directly with them. About 90% of their business is pushing vaccines. Vaccine the kid for this, vaccine the kid for that, vaccine the kid for this, vaccine the kid for that. Pharmacists. And if you talk to them, at least 80 to 90% of them are just doing what they're told by the CDC. Well, this is what's recommended, so this is what must be good. This is what we learned in school, so this must be right. Yeah, what did you learn in school this week? It's got to be right because, you know, it's in the book. Well, you know, this book's been around a lot longer. And this book is contrary to what you're learning in school. And this book's been vindicated. It was written by God. The books you read in school are written by man. Whose word are you going to take? "And there came one unto me, one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Notice then, this messenger, it's at the time of this messenger that's to introduce the bride's wife. Notice chapter 22. "For I testify unto every man," chapter 22, verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Where are the plagues coming from? Chapter 18, verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." The plagues are meant for the church. They're meant for those who resist the truth in unrighteousness and hold down the truth. It's the wrath of God. But notice, let's look at Revelation chapter 18, because we know that behind a lot of this, the Roman church, she's got the gold, right? The Jews have the paper. Rome's got the gold. Well, let's turn to verse 8. "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her." And of course, who does the judging but the judge? Remember, James, "Behold, the judge standeth at the door." In Revelation 3, who is rejected but the judge? The Word. John 12 and 48, he said, "My Word shall judge in the last day." So who's put out of the church? It's the Word. Well, how are the people deceived? Notice verse 23. "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee." Why? Because he's left. This is tribulation time now he's talking about. "For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." By thy sorceries? Pharmaceuticals. Do you realize that the pharmaceutical companies, and I'm not saying this to be a conspiracy theorist, I'm just telling you fact, that they dictate to the governments what can and cannot be done with the vaccines? And the government, because they don't know, they're just a bunch of politicians, they say, "Oh yeah, that sounds good. We better get these kids vaccinated." You ever wonder why there's all kinds of new vaccines coming out for things that we never had problems like these before? So they create the problem so they can sell vaccine to cure the problem. And so you've got manipulations taking place. Since 1990, there hasn't been one case of polio in the United States that has not been caused directly or indirectly by vaccination. Now think about it. Verse 23 says, For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries, by thy pharmaceuticals, were all nations deceived." You realize that those of you that are about my age, the polio vaccines you took in the 1960s, much of the polio vaccines were tainted with SM40, which is simian. It's SM40, it stands for simian something or other, 40. Huh? Yeah, it was simian monkey virus. 40. You realize that, and I don't say this for fact because, well, I do say it for fact. because we've heard the tape. And we heard the audio program where the actual tape where one of the guys at head of the CDC or up with Merck or one of those big companies, they're laughing. About 100,000 people got AIDS in Africa because they got tainted vaccine. I don't know if they're vaccinating them for polio or for smallpox. When was the last time you ever heard of anybody getting smallpox? So what are they vaccine people for smallpox for? It's a dead disease. It only exists in the test tubes and the vials. Same with polio. There hasn't been a case of polio in the United States since 1990 that hasn't been induced by vaccine. They said either directly by vaccine. I've got the reports at work. Directly or indirectly. In other words, those few that weren't vaccinated had come in contact with someone who had been. And they got the polio from them. So what's happening? Money, money, money. And who's the guinea pigs? The world. You all remember we won't even get into the monetary aspects of things. We're talking about the wrath, we're talking about the plagues right now. In Zechariah 14 and 12 says, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in the holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plagues of the horse and of the mule and of the camel and of the ass and all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague." How many read about Hong Kong? They had to slaughter, what was it, a million three chickens, ducks, geese. They almost had to do the same thing with cows, bovine, over in England. And somehow that thing jumped across the Atlantic. Did it? Or was it in the vaccines that they've been giving their cows, the steroids, the things they've been giving their cows? Isn't it incredible that you could have entire villages in Africa wiped out from AIDS, from Ebola? These mysterious plagues that all of a sudden just crop up. It's not mysterious to me when you have a prophet of God who said that, well, let's just read it. He said, "Grant, Lord, that something will be said tonight that will cause the wayward to turn to Christ, for we believe and feel pressed in the Spirit that great judgments are upon these lands in the last days. Plagues, disease germs already bred up to be scattered throughout the nations. No doctor know even how to take a hold of it." The doctors don't know. "Oh God, we'll have to believe in divine healing then. When nations are breeding germs together to burst them in bombs and millions die and ours over it. But oh, we're so thankful that when the destroying angel went forth, he said, 'Touch not none that has the seal of the Father upon their forehead. They are mine.' Oh, we're so grateful tonight to be under the blood, safely protected as Israel in the days of old, putting the blood upon the lintel of the door and upon the post, sign of the cross. When the death angel was sweeping the land, the dark wings bowed down. But when he seen the blood, it rose again, and I will pass over you." I began to talk to Brother Vail about these things last night a little bit. And he said, "You know, you wonder if this isn't what Brother Branham meant when he said that when the sixth seal was open and all those plagues, he said, I'm not going to tell you about it because you couldn't handle it." Remember that? Brother Ram said, I'm fearful to tell you what's coming, but it's coming on the earth. Brother, sister, we're looking at it because we see it already. From God's provided way, he said, what is cancer? What is a cancer? What is a disease? he says, we'll deal on that for the next 5 minutes now. What is a cancer? What caused a thing? Let's take a cancer or anything you wish to take. Tubercular, pneumonia, whatever you wish to, any disease, because diseases are germs. Now let me pass something here quickly, as of time going. Listen, did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days that there will be germ warfare, that diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Everyone. You've got loved ones in here that aren't here? Everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get by it. That is, thus saith the Lord. Now think about it. Why do they cry out in Revelations for the rocks to fall upon them? One third of all flesh will be devoured with that rotting whatever. Then there'll be fire break out, atomic fire. Brother Graham called the people there cannon fodder. You know what Ebola does? You know what AIDS does? Have any ever worked? I know Helena has worked with AIDS patients, seen them.
you know, by the time they die, they look emaciated. They look like the prisoners of World War II concentration camp. Nothing left but skin and bone. And it's not a very pleasant thing. It's not a fact of, like, anorexia, where you just, you know, I'm so nice and thin. Brother and sister, they heave their guts out. Pieces of their organs come out in their bowel. And like Ebola, which is a lot faster, at least AIDS takes 15 to 20 years to incubate. How many people in the world do you think's got it? They say maybe 30 million. That's the World Health Organization number, 30 to 40 million. Let's try maybe 10 times that number. How many people are going to die in the plagues? Well, brother, sister, we're fast approaching 6 billion people in the world. One-third die. 2 billion people are going to perish. There's only 260 million in the United States, and this nation has a bomb written on her, according to the seventh vision. Woe fall into the hands of an angry God.